And joining me in the studio this afternoon are Cooper Helm and Scott Grimion, here to talk about their production, the Lauren Riley Elliott Company's production of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Scott is directing the play, and Cooper plays McMurphy in the play. You open on Friday, but there is a pay-as-you-can event tomorrow evening.
And we have a preview night tomorrow evening. It's a... like you said, pay what you can.
Okay.
Come and, you know, come and see. It's basically our last dress rehearsal, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, fine-tuning may still occur, but, you know, it's a preview.
Okay. And probably a great night for students to see that.
Absolutely.
High school students, college students who are just starting the semester, a really good opportunity for them to see this classic story. So let's kind of just talk about it in general, because before we went on microphone, we were discussing that whole idea about iconic films, books, plays that everyone knows about but may not have actually ever seen. So I would like the two of you to talk about your first encounters with this, what do we call it, phenomenon.
Entity.
Was it the book, Scott, or the movie, or the play that you first?
For me, it was definitely the book. I read the book when I was a teenager. I mean, just fell in love with it. You know, it was just such a great piece to read at that time in my life. And, you know, it's kind of interesting going back to it now. I think that it's something that a lot of high school students read, maybe college. But
now, did you encounter it through class, through a teacher?
Through class, it's so worth going back to now, you know, with perspective, and it's just full of amazing, empowering themes, and it's just a great piece of work. It's a great piece of writing.
Well, for those people, again, who know that title but don't know much about it other than that, just give us a bit of background about the book. Who wrote it? And
sure. It was written by Ken Kesey. He spent some time in his life working in a mental hospital where I think he pulled a lot of his inspiration for the book, as well as he underwent some LSD experimentation at the time. It was written in the late 50s, early 60s, and you know, at the time in hospitals, they were experimenting with LSD for schizophrenia, for paranoia, for everything. So he volunteered for that and actually recorded his first experience. And if you go back and listen to that, it's on YouTube. You can check it out. It's really neat. And there are lines from the book, you know, that he spoke when he was, you know, sorry, hit the microphone. The book itself is, you know, takes place in this mental hospital, and it really follows the central character of the book, and the narrator of the book is Chief Bromden. And it kind of tells the tale of R.P. McMurphy, who is a criminal, and he's working in the farms, you know, on the fields, out in the sun, and he's decided that he's going to scheme the man and pretend to be crazy so that he can then be institutionalized and spend the rest of his sentence in a mental hospital in the shade. Well, when he gets there, you know, he finds that...
it's not such a holiday.
It's not. It's not. And the men on the ward, you know, are kind of a shell of human beings, you know, and he comes in and... attempts to breathe life into the ward and into these men and inspire them and get them living again.
You know, just as you're describing, I guess it never really struck me how similar that is in some ways to Cool Hand Luke.
Sure.
For another generation.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
and another great classic movie.
But that sense of the outsider coming in and not really expecting what he gets into, but inspiring a whole bunch of people for very different reasons.
Absolutely.
So the book was written in, as you said, late 50s, early 60s. And then there a play made first or the film?
The play came first. Okay. Or second after the book, and then the film came in 73, 75. So a good, you know, 10 to 12 years later, the movie was produced.
Right. And as with all adaptations like that, there are some significant differences
sure.
in the two. Yeah. Now, Cooper, you've directed a lot of plays. You've acted in a lot of plays. You have been in this play before a number of years ago. How did you first encounter One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? In what form? Book, movie,
definitely
play?
The movie.
Okay.
Definitely the movie.
All right.
Yeah.
And I think we can get your voice up just
okay,
a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
There.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know. I guess sometimes in my adult life, you know, and I watched the movie, of course.
So you didn't see it when it first came out? It was sometime later?
No. I was too young.
Okay. Parents wouldn't let you go.
Yeah. Well, I think I was 8 or something. Mm-hmm. But I saw the movie in my, like, you know, when I was an adult, and I was fascinated by it, everything about it. Jack Nicholson's character, it's really what that was acting to me. Mm-hmm. It's really, it's what made him as far as, you know, and just is a lot what Scott said. I mean, mm-hmm. it's the book, the movie, and the play are a lot different. But the theme is still is the same.
Right.
Is that he comes in and these guys don't even respect themselves. They don't care about one another, more or less themselves, and they're just being controlled. And he comes in and gets them to, you know, lighten up and
enjoy life.
Yeah.
Well, so Jack Nicholson obviously is a force. You can't see that movie without responding to him as an actor.
And it's a big difference in the McMurphy in the book and in the movie.
And how does he make that different? What does Jack Nicholson do to that character or the director do to that character?
Well, it was just played a whole different way. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the mm-hmm. book, he's a loudmouth. He's just a hellraiser.
Well, Scott said a criminal.
criminal larger than
loud,
life.
Loud, boisterous. Yeah. I mean, just screaming, rolling laughter. I mean, just is huge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, that's not gonna play right on film.
Yeah.
You know, so what Jack did to it was genius, and it's what everybody's seen. You know, well, you could play this character big, like it's kind of in the play, but there's kind of a balance mm-hmm. in between it, because mm-hmm. in live theater you can't do what Jack did
yeah.
right.
throughout the whole play.
Right. Well, now you've said everybody's seen, and I'm fascinated by the things people have not seen.
Right.
Whether it's someone who's just a teenager, mm-hmm. someone in college, people in their 30s or 40s, what we think of as classic films, iconic films, what people haven't seen. So I'm imagining there are quite a number of people listening right now who actually have not seen that.
Yeah.
What would you say to those people to encourage them to encounter this,
okay.
to actually encounter this story, this experience? Scott, you're the director.
Yeah,
you're playing
you,
McMurphy.
You sound like you had something.
Well,
why should we see this? What does it say to people? It's not just a story about a man in a mental asylum.
No, of course not. I mean, it's really...
Well, again, he wrote the play. I mean, he wrote the book on acid. Okay? So
took inspiration.
So, I mean, he unlocked doors inside the human brain mm-hmm. that he wrote about, and his experiences and these hallucinations. And in the book, it goes into great detail about all that. And it's just like... It's like 1960 or 1961 yeah. or 62 when he wrote it, and this is like right in the beginning of the 60s generation, 70s generation, and all that explosion mm-hmm. Of the culture.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a glimpse, you know, a bird's eye view of what was the cocoon stage of all that, and where a lot of the minds were, and when you unlock all those doors by using these psychedelic drugs, then it explores these areas. I mean, the mind is open to these things.
Yeah, you're right. It is a glimpse back into that time period mm-hmm. and kind of an original altered state story.
Yes.
But there is something very universal about it,
sure.
too,
I mean,
that even if you're 15 years old right now encountering
absolutely.
It.
And the theme of oppression and authority
yes.
run are a current through the entire mm-hmm. play. And then you have this amazing, especially in the play and you know, maybe in the movie, but I think the movie, I think the play is, like you said, a balance between the two as far as the take on McMurphy. But you have this really fun-loving, energetic person who comes in and helps these guys to not only kind of find themselves and, you know, work through the oppression that they're living in, but also take responsibility for themselves and for the people around them and care for the people around them. And it's done in just such a fun, exciting way, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. through McMurphy and through this character that, I mean, it's just, it's a blast to watch, you know, I mean, it's amazing.
Okay, so we've kind of been talking about book, film, play, but you all are doing the play.
Yes.
And that play will open this week at Cité des Arts. Mm-hmm. So how are you playing it? How are, what is your focus as a director, Scott? What, I mean, and of course, I'm sure y'all have worked very closely. I mean, Cooper, you have directed plays before, but that character, I'm sure, takes everything you have just to play that character. Yeah. So how are you directing this? What is...
Well, you know, I try and make sure that my character of Chief, who is the narrator of the play, is someone
and
that...
he's not a police chief, for those
people
who haven't
seen it. Chief Bromden. He's a Native American.
Big Chief Bromden.
You know,
who plays him in this?
Casey Harmon. Okay. He's a fantastic local actor. He's been in numerous plays for years and years and years. Very talented guy. I try and make sure that the audience is going to stay connected to him and follow him from beginning to end.
So McMurphy's important, but the narrator is very important to the
story. That is key when we decided to do this, mm-hmm. that this play is very difficult to do because a lot of people focus in on McMurphy as the lead character mm-hmm. and the storyline, and they focus in on that, and the chief can somewhat get left behind. Mm-hmm. Well, our goal is to make Chief as much or more of a character than McMurphy. That way there's an equal – to it, and I think we get the true punch of this story, mm-hmm. and that's really what we're driving at. Mm-hmm. And we do it with lights and sound. We've got a lot of, I mean, you're coming to a play, but you're coming to a movie theater.
Well, that's becoming the hallmark of the Lauren Riley Elliott Company, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, there aren't any breaks. There's no debts.
A little pyrotechnics on stage.
Yeah, a little pyro.
Okay, with the technology. Well, and that's interesting that you are choosing to do that, to make the chief as much a character, because if you only talked about the exuberance and the craziness and the wildness of McMurphy and didn't show the effect he actually had on humanity, mm-hmm. on people, you would lose half of that story.
Absolutely.
That it's not just his personality, but it is, what does that do? How does that inspire anyone or change anybody's life?
And Chief is the character who is most absorbed in that. He's silenced himself from the world, you know, so... To break through to that is the biggest dynamic, you know. It's the hardest task,
right?
Which is interesting. India told me about it. This really takes place in a lobotomized Indian. Can you tell me that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because there are a lot. I think you can interpret this play and several scenes in this play in different ways, and one of them is, you know, you have this character, Chief Bromden, who has spent his entire life, basically since a child, in a mental institution, and he's an unreliable narrator at best. You know, you don't really know if he's crazy. You don't know what kind of medication he's been given, and yet you choose to follow him through this story and listen to him and believe him and go along with him. And there's just always that question of what is real. Mm-hmm. You know, there are these monologues that he takes that are kind of separate from the action of the play. And I find myself questioning all the time, what is real, the action of the play or the monologues mm-hmm. When he's actually speaking himself mm-hmm. and the rest of it is just this imaginary, you know, place that he mm-hmm. he is in his mind.
So, like, when you combine the experimentation of the drugs and everything he said about the plight of McMurphy and saving these guys' souls, and it's all of that. And when you have it all in one big bundle like that, you're gonna and it's executed properly. The audience will be left thinking for weeks. Because what is real? Is it, is that part fantasy, or is that part, you know, an hallucination? And it's just, how does this come together? And it makes sense. And it's Rage Against the Machine, the big man, you know. I mean, it's
all of those themes.
Big government. Yes.
They're powerful images, whether it's the book, the play, or the movie, that stay
so
with
powerful.
You. I mean, they're images that come every once in a while to my mind. It's just various situations in life bring those.
Culture.
Yes, those lines and the images and the stories. And the play is the same. I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, the play we're talking about is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's being directed by Scott Grimiaw, and acting as McMurphy is my other guest, Cooper Helm. It will open on Friday, but tomorrow evening, Thursday evening, there is a pay-as-you-can dress rehearsal. So anyone can attend, students who would love to see this play, have heard about it, but have not either seen the movie or read the book, certainly can attend.
And it's pay what you can, okay? But if you don't have any money, you're free to come for free.
So pay what you can means
we want to fill up the theater for our preview night.
Yeah.
Okay.
So come if you just want.
It's an open dress rehearsal.
Yeah, one penny, you get in.
All right. Okay, definitely. So if there are any teachers who are teaching that book out there and think their students could benefit by seeing the play, great opportunity tomorrow evening.
Mm-hmm.
What time does the dress rehearsal begin?
7:30. Doors will open at 7.
Okay.
There's a pre-show at 7 o'clock to 7:15 where we have the patients. And, well, actually, it's just a day in the life.
Yeah.
And for our performances as well, there'll be a pre-show starting at 7. So if you get there, you can come in and
interact
see,
with the patients.
Just, you know, to see what happens in the daily lives of a mental institution.
But then you have to get out and go into the audience afterwards. You can't stay there.
I don't know if they're going to want to go on stage at that point.
Yeah.
I've walked on stage during that, I call it Life on the Ward improv that we do before every rehearsal. And, you know, I'll go on stage to fix something on the wall or fix a piece of furniture or something like that, and I start looking around and I start feeling like I'm in
that
a
is,
war.
That is a testament to the power of your set designer, your actors, everything. And I'm sure that your audience will feel the same. So it does open on Friday. How long will it run? 1-2 weekends?
3 weekends.
3 weekends.
Yeah, 3 weekends.
So you have lots of opportunity to see.
Our
lots
last,
of time,
our last show,
lots of games.
Our last show is the Sunday of Super Bowl. And they're going to be showing the Super Bowl at Cité des Arts on a big screen after the play. So, you know, come see the play and then have a couple
see
of beers and watch the Super Bowl with us.
Definitely.
Well, we'll be sure to remind people of that as that day gets closer. But you have 3 weekends to see it. And then, of course, if you're a student and really need a little assistance, you can see the pay as you can, even if that's nothing, tomorrow evening. Doors open at 7, starts at 7:30. Now, Cooper is McMurphy, and you did mention Casey Harmon, who plays Chief. Who are your other actors in the play?
Well, there's 16 actors. Jim LeVere is Dale Harding. We have Gus Fontenot plays Billy Bibbit, and Gus is, I think it's his first time on the stage, and I mean, it's just been amazing to watch him develop, and absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just
very
transitioned into this character. Nurse Ratchet is played by Hope Garrett Cook, who we've worked with a couple of times before, and she's always a pleasure.
That's a hard act to follow, too, because so many people have that image in their head of
she
Nurse
is,
Ratched.
But she just has this look to her that's
formidable.
Good, and her tone and her voice is very nice, too. So,
Andre Traha is one of our patients, Cheswick. Scott Hermes plays Martini. Jackie Robertson plays Turkel, who's a night aide, kind of the comic relief. And we have Mitch Berry and Michael Smith, who play our aides, Warren and Williams. We have
Catherine Arsenault, Abby Degger.
Yeah.
They are the Twitches.
Candy Star.
I'm sorry. And Candy
Sandy.
Star and Sandra. Let's see.
And Kayla Naquin plays Nurse Flynn.
That's right. Oh, Ed.
Ed. Ed DeMahie plays Dr. Spivey.
Dr. Spivey.
A real interesting
Jack
guy
Sorenstein
with an amazing voice.
Is Scanlan.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Jack Sorensen, Scanlan.
Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Did you mention Todrus Sam?
Todrus was actually in our production before, but he's had to leave our production.
Right.
So.
Well, that's quite a cast. And yeah. are some of these characters characters who are in the play and not in the movie, or are they all pretty much the same?
No, some of them are kind of a combination of mm-hmm. different characters okay. in the book, as well as I think in the movie there are some that are kind of combined. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. It's mm-hmm. like it. Like they have, they don't. We can't do a fishing scene like in the movie,
yeah.
but there is lines from the fishing scene that are in the play in sure. a different scene, yeah. and it does that throughout, and how they've combined and here and that, and it's also been rewritten several times to the play, so it's ever changing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like no matter what you've seen or not seen or experienced, this will only help complete your full experience, whether you have read the book, seen the play. You
yeah.
really
it
sounds
will.
Like you really should see this experience, because a very interesting twist on of interpretation. And, of course, if you only know the name and have never seen anything, this would be a great place to start.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You can see dress rehearsal tomorrow. It opens on Friday and then runs for 3 weekends. And Cooper, you wanted to add something?
I just wanted to say One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. The title alone says it all. It's like everybody is just really, you're just right there. Can you be in? I mean, the mm-hmm. insanity is right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, how do you stay away from it? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going crazy. We all say that sometimes. I might fly over the cuckoo's nest. Yeah. Well, here you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, or even if it's just a brief experience, it will touch you.
I don't know if that's a good analogy, but anyway, I'm sorry.
You can have an audience discussion afterwards.
Sure. If I could just get this in too. Our production, the Lauren Riley Elliott production, is sponsored by Creations by Fire. Mm-hmm. They're a local store downtown on Jefferson Street. It's a jewelry store, and they've sponsored us and helped us out so much.
Okay. And do you all have a web presence or a Facebook presence?
Absolutely, LRETheater.com.
Okay. Well, people can take a look at that and find out more. Go to the Cité website as well. You can attend tomorrow, pay as you can, and then on Friday it does open to the general public. Thank you both for coming by. Scott Grimiot directing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Cooper Helm playing R.P. McMurphy in the play.
Thanks so much,
Thank
Judith.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Judith.